Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, episode 1210. I'm Harry. You all know that. This is Bo. And say hello to Lewis.
Hello.
Hello and welcome back. And today we're going to talk about more stuff to do with the MAGA mutiny as a result of the non-existent Epstein files. Weird. So glad to learn that they didn't exist in the first place, except for when they were on Pam Bondi's desk. Ofcom gatekeeping by communists. Mm-hmm. And also I'm going to talk about Israel's latest moves in Syria, which should be very interesting, and what's going on there, and what some of the strategic aims might be. Have we got anything on this afternoon? Is Common Sense Crusade on, Jack? Yeah, Common Sense Crusade after this at 3 o'clock. So if you've got a membership to the website, watch that. If you don't, go away. Anyway, let's get into it then, gents.
All right, so let's talk about the great MAGA schism, or the great MAGA mutiny that's happening, and it's a thing in progress. So for anyone that's watching this maybe days or weeks or even months from now, just to note, we are talking at approximately 1 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time on the 17th of July. So things will have changed quite quickly on this.
Yes.
But at the moment, one of the bigger things, there's lots to talk about actually in this segment, but one of the bigger things is that Dan Bongino, the deputy leader of the FBI, has quit, it seems. One of the first things to say on that is that the left-wing, lefty legacy media, sort of, or some of them anyway, are sort of painting it, someone like Karl Kaczynski or something, painting it as just a rage quit. Mm. I don't know. I don't think it is a rage quit. He actually hasn't come out and said, again, as of recording, he hasn't come out and sort of done any sort of interview completely explaining his position or anything. I suspect it was less of a rage quit and more of a, you know, standing on principle. Albeit, they did came out, him and Kash Patel, do you remember that, a few days back or a few weeks back now, saying, did that press conference where they looked like they were, it was like a hostage video, and they said, no, Epstein did kill himself and there's not much to see here.
Yeah, I believe it was remember the that? DOJ leak of a memo that said that there was no client list, there was nothing like that, and then they immediately all had to come out and defend it.
Well, that's something slightly different, but I'll talk about that. Yeah, it wasn't a leak, it was an official,
I think it was leaked a little bit early.
Okay. Beyond when it was formally released.
Yes, and then it was released to and confirmed everybody's worries.
Okay, so there's some sort of mutiny between, some sort of end of the love affair between at least a large chunk of the MAGA base and Trump. On both sides of the coin, it seems, because Trump keeps doubling down at the moment in sort of not reversing his position or anything. I must admit, I must count myself in that as part of the mutiny. I mean, when there was the American election stream, we were all pro-Trump, right, weren't we? I've always been fairly lukewarm pro-Trump, pro-MAGA. I'm also on record saying that, you know, I'm not blindly in favour of him.
I've always had criticisms of him.
Yeah, I've written about my criticisms of his first administration, where he didn't really drain the swamp at all. Things like that.
Nonetheless,
I've been broadly pro-Trump, but I can't really support it going further because of this. Because this goes to the heart of it. It goes to the heart of trust and all sorts of things. It goes to the heart of the deep state or the swamp.
It kind of wraps up everything that the MAGA movement was supposed to be against. The only thing it doesn't really include is immigration and mass deportations, which are being used as a talking point to try to distract people from this.
Yeah, I never understand that position. It's like you can only have one or the other. Mm. Like you can only have Trump be really strong on immigration, or he can tackle the Epstein thing with truth. You can't have both. Why not?
Why was he campaigning on all of these things then?
Exactly.
And people say, oh, he's been lukewarm on the Epstein files. And to be fair, that is true. You can find interviews from him last year where he was very evasive around whether he was going to release them or not. But it was all of the people that he chose for positions, like Dan Bongino, like Kash Patel, who were going hell for leather against it. Pam Bondi and others saying that we're going to release all of this information. Pam Bondi earlier this year saying, I've got the files on my desk.
Yeah.
And then there was the big media blitz around the Phase 1, which I'm pretty sure was supposed to be the only thing that they were going to release. And then everybody said, this is nothing. So they said, oh, it's actually only Phase 1. The whole thing has been a complete disaster. from the off, and it really does come across like they're trying to hide something.
Didn't AA post something, I think it was either earlier or yesterday, I can't remember, saying that I think it was only 3% of like the MAGA base like were approving of Trump's handling of the Epstein files, like only 3%. And well, I don't know the pool of that. We need to look that up properly. But yeah, I read that and I thought, they're in trouble.
Well, it does go right to the very core of the movement.
Yeah.
You know, one of the big pillars on which the MAGA movement and Trump was elected both times was that he's the outsider who's going to drain the swamp and he's going to actually confront these cabals of sex criminals and paedophiles and things. So to pivot like this, to 180 like this, and immediately start gaslighting, that's not okay. I mean, you're quite right to say that in recent months, or certainly in recent days, before the memo came out, he sort of started being quite lukewarm and trying to walk it back a bit. But there's also plenty of clips of him from way back, just being quite bellicose about it, saying, no, we will release just unequivocally, we will release the Epstein files. That sort of thing.
The one that I've seen referred to quite a lot, it was last year sometime, was he was being asked very directly in an interview, will you release the JFK files? Yes. Will you release these files? Yes. Will you release the Epstein files? And he pauses and he goes, yeah, well, we'll release some of it, you know, because there's a lot of lies in there. It's like, oh, okay, just these ones he starts to get all cagey about.
Yeah, right. So, of course, you can imagine that all the lefties, like the legacy media, you know, MSNBC, CNN, people like Jen Psaki, Stephen King.
Stephen King's one was interesting, telling MAGA to grow up, that it was all a conspiracy theory. So apparently, when it comes to potentially defending an international cabal of sex offenders who abuse minors, this is the one thing that Stephen King and Donald Trump
can
agree on. So that's interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, you can imagine that they're all for it because it undermines Trump in any way. It's a political problem for Trump. But it's interesting that a lot of them go with the angle that Epstein, there actually isn't that much to see. There isn't. It was a hoax. But nonetheless, isn't it good that he's fallen out of love with his own base and all that sort of thing?
They're cheering that on.
Very interesting. I was going to play a bit of Carl Knitzy, but I can't bring myself to do it. I won't put our audience through it. You know, John Stewart, obviously.
Don't put us through John Stewart.
People like that. Don't say his real name. People like that.
Hope not hate might tell me off.
Obviously loving it. But there's loads on the other side. I mean, loads. A lot of people that you would expect to be Trump loyalists are just not having it. They're just not having it. People like Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, Matt Walsh, Tim Pool, Candice Owens, all these people are being like, what? Are you kidding me? Even Charlie Kirk, for a while, he went along with the line of, let's just talk about something else. But then quite quickly pivoted back to, oh, actually, no, this is important.
Didn't he say recently on his show, we don't want to talk about it. I trust my friends in the government or something.
And then one day later went back to, actually,
oh my God.
I think he felt the way the winds were going. I don't know. I don't really watch Charlie Kirk.
You might have realised how stupid the sentence, my friends in the government.
Yeah, I know. I trust my friends in the government. It's like,
okay, so either you are a bought and paid for insider, or you're actually dumb enough to think the government is your friend. Mm-hmm. Neither one is good.
Well, that's the Ben Shapiro line. I trust Kash Patel. I know. I trust. I trust Pam Bondi. Mm. I trust the president. Okay, all right. But it's not just the chattering classes.
Yes.
People like Tucker Carlson or whatever. It's actually people like, you know, Steve Bannon, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert. Obviously, Dan Bongino has got some sort of issues, of course. Tim Butcher, a Republican from Tennessee, has gone on the record saying, no, I just don't trust Pam Bondi. And, but it's more than that. I mean, Mike Johnson, the Speaker in Congress, has expressed doubts. He's just not going along with the Trump line of let's stop talking about this. And in fact, the Democrats would only need a small number of Republicans in Congress in order to force a bill to make the White House legally, formally have to release the files, and they've got them. Apparently, they've got the numbers. Well, see, it's only need like a few, and they've already got seven or so.
I was reading earlier that they've got that a bill drafted or are drafting a bill for that, and I read that it was Mike Johnson who was trying to block it.
Well, they did block a vote just the other day, but it will keep coming up. This isn't going to go away.
Oh, of course.
The fact that Trump wants it to go away, it's not going to. I mean, I wrote an article a few years ago, 3 years ago, saying we won't forget this. People, lots of people want it to be forgotten and just swept under the carpet. It's just a footnote in history. But it's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be, because the mutiny is quite big. Like I say, all these lists of names from Joe Rogan to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
Right? They're not letting it go.
And it's also for the Democrats. It's a slam dunk for them.
Right.
It's a complete slam dunk. Not to say that loads of MAGA Republicans are going to switch sides all of a sudden. I would never, ever recommend anybody vote Democrat. But I would expect that a number of people are going to go, well, I was lied to again. I was lied to, so they might just refrain from voting or potentially try and vote for a third party like Elon Musk's America Party. If that even goes ahead. I mean, Musk has been saying that he wanted to primary people because of the deficit spending. But it might actually be this that gets people primaried in the midterms.
Yeah. One other thing to say, people that are on both sides of the aisle on this, there's some people that I've found suspiciously silent. Haven't seen J.D. Vance talk about this much. Kash Patel seems to be remarkably quiet at the moment.
And he's already made statements.
We're in a moment in time. He has made statements, but he's not sort of come out and done a long press conference backing up Trump or whatever, has he? A number of people seem to be interestingly quiet about it. But okay, so just a super quick rundown, if anyone doesn't know, of some of the chronology of some of the things that have happened. So there's that phase one thing where Bondi gives a bunch of right-leaning influencers this dossier thing. It's phase one.
Phase one. Yeah. They all took a photo, outside.
And it was a complete nothing burger.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, we'll wait for phase two then.
Right. It was information that we already had, except it was massively redacted when we already had the unredacted versions. Like, seriously?
I mean, like a number of people, were like, okay, phase one, all right. So, okay, it's a nothing burger, but we'll wait for the big reveal, the big phase two. And then she came out, didn't she? She said it was on her desk. They've walked that back. She didn't literally mean it was an actual list was physically on her desk. It was just the files in general, sort of metaphorically on her metaphorical desk sort of a thing. But okay. So once that memo came out, what is it, something like 10 days ago now, where it just said, there's nothing to see here, basically. He did kill himself. There is no client list. And that's it. That's the end of the story, really. Obviously, that's weird and frustrating. But the very next day, when there was some sort of press conference in the White House, and someone asked Trump about it, or someone was asking Pam Bondi, who was sitting two seats down from Trump, about it, and Trump interjected saying, are you still talking about Epstein? And it's like, that was when I immediately, like, this is a sea change. One, it was only one day ago for a start. What do you mean, are we still talking about it?
Yeah.
It's still in the news cycle. We're still talking about it. Yeah, we've still got questions. She never told us whether he was an intelligence agent, whether a US or an Israeli one. We're still talking about it. Yeah.
Or like many attached to a lot of different intelligence agencies, all banding information between one another.
Sure.
Yeah.
An asset, whether he's actually a full-blown employee or whether he's just, on their books in some more informal way or whatever. You haven't addressed any of that. So, we're still talking about it. So that gaslighting was immediately odd to me. That was a red flag to me.
Yeah, massive.
It was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I almost couldn't believe my eyes and ears when... but anyway, since then, it's only got worse. In fact, we've got a clip from that actual conference. But let's listen to Bondi here.
First, to back up on that, in February, I did an interview on Fox, and it's been getting a lot of attention because I said, I was asked a question about the client list, and my response was, it's sitting on my desk to be reviewed, meaning the file along with the JFK, MLK files as well. That's what I meant by that.
also to the tens of thousands of video. They turned out to be child porn downloaded by that disgusting Jeffrey Epstein. Child porn is what they were. Never going to be released, never going to see the light of day. To him being an agent, I have no knowledge about that. We can get back to you on that. And the minute...
That was the key thing for me. We have no knowledge about that. We'll get back to you on that. Oh, liar. I'm not buying that. No, no, what do you mean? What do you mean you don't know about it and you'll get back to us? Nonsense. Don't treat us like we're children, like we're morons. You don't know anything about that. That's sort of at the heart of this thing and has been since the 90s when he was first prosecuted.
Yeah.
You don't know about that. Well, you'll get back to us on that.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Treat us with such contempt.
Yep.
So, okay, going forward, it just seems... Well, so Trump keeps pivoting because at first it was, the line was, there are no files.
Yeah.
Now it seems to have pivoted a bit to something a bit different, that there might be files, but they're not credible. Trump in the last few days
has Democrat come, hoax
yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
the new
and
line.
And that as well. There aren't any. Oh, but there are, but it's a hoax and they're not credible. It's like, well, make your mind up.
There's been numerous administrations have handled these files over these when... Epstein actually died, it was under Trump's administration. And it was 2019, so this was almost 3 years into his administration as well. So at least there's a three-year grace period there, Donald, where those files were your guys doing it, surely.
Yeah. Another thing he keeps saying is, the guy died years ago now. Don't care, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John Kennedy was murdered decades ago. Doesn't matter. The truth will lie in wait for all time. Okay.
very good.
So the truth's not going anywhere. So where people keep asking the questions, he's sort of basically attacking his own base. So let's listen to this little clip. Can you turn it up, Jack? Is it possible?
I don't understand it. Why they would be so interested. He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all...
Keep going.
Fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sorted, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something.
It's bad people. It's always bad people.
We're bad people for wanting to know the truth, and it's boring. Neither of those things are true.
No.
Neither of those things are true. If anything, you can't call it boring.
There's nothing there, but it's boring.
Yeah.
He's just throwing out old talking points to try and distract. He's trying to throw out, Steele dossier, fake news.
Yeah.
These are talking points and lines that you've been using for years. That
remember, MAGA is a cult. When, you know, they all... Yeah, MAGA is this cult that they just follow the leader and that's it. You don't ask questions. You don't, you know... hold accountability in some way. Remember that.
To equate this with real hoaxes, like the Russia thing.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Donald? Yeah. Why are you doing that? Only bad people want to know the truth about this. Are you sure, mate?
Trafficking's pretty high issue.
Yeah, and it's a hoax. Oh, is it?
But it's boring.
Oh, is it? That island is a hoax, is it? His 90s conviction was a hoax. Ghislaine Maxwell's trial, was a hoax.
So she's
it was the mid 2000s where he was convicted for, I believe it was, trafficking children at the age of around 12, as young as 12 at least. That was in, I think, 2007. Conveniently, just a few years after he and Trump had a public falling out. Because they've been friends for a very long time up until that point. And for that, he was given a sweetheart deal where he only had to serve, I think, 12 months. Mm. And that might have been commuted. And when asked why that was, I believe the Attorney General or the Judge Acosta said he was told that it was because Epstein was intelligence. Wow. All of these coincidences, you have to, and just points of fact, you have to try and magic away if you want to turn this into something innocent where the administration's telling you the truth right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're creating a false history. Trying to.
I mean, there's plenty of other stuff as well, like the fact that Epstein was employed in the 70s at the Dalton School as a maths teacher when he had no qualifications to do so, was given the job by Bill Barr's father, and then in the mid-1980s gets picked up by this mega group and people like Les Wexner and just handed over a load of massive, like billions of dollars worth of hedge funds accounts to manage.
That New York mansion was just Les Wexner's. Just
it sold it to him for a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he had no right, no qualifications or experience in any of these fields, just keeps getting given these opportunities. And then all of a sudden by the late 80s, early 90s, he's a wealthy New York socialite rubbing shoulders with Donald Trump and Clinton.
That was all an Obama conspiracy theory, apparently, now.
Yeah.
So Ghislaine Maxwell being in jail then, like in prison, what is that? Is it just...
A hoax.
Hoax.
The connections to Robert Maxwell directly through Ghislaine.
The Lolita Express and its logs.
Yeah, all of that.
That was all a hoax.
Hoax.
Just a conspiracy theory.
Boring stuff, though.
The witness testimony of all the survivors...
Yeah,
it's all a hoax.
The interviews.
Let's listen to Trump answer some questions here in the last day or so.
He said this was all a hoax. Has your attorney general told you this was a hoax? What evidence have you
seen? I'm not the attorney general, no. I know it's a hoax. It's started by Democrats. Some stupid Republicans and foolish Republicans fall into the net, and so they try and do the Democrats' work. They're wasting their time with a guy who obviously had some very serious problems, who died 3-4 years ago. I'd rather talk about the success we have with...
I bet you would. I bet you would, mate.
Well, that's something else he keeps trying to pivot onto, this idea that, we've had the most successful administration, most successful 6 months ever. People are saying, I'm going to be the greatest president of all time, considered that my legacy. Mm-hmm. It's like...
It's all boring.
What's
boring? It's boring.
It's boring.
What's the achievements? Like, how is this the most successful presidency of all time so far, these first 6 months? What are these achievements that he's pointing to? Like,
let's have one more clip.
Okay.
Let's have one more clip.
And I would say that, you know, these files were made up by Comey. They were made up by Obama. They were made up by the Biden. We went through years of that with the Russia hoax, with all of the different things that we had to go through. We've gone through years of it, but she's handled it very well.
Okay. It's BS. People that still want to know about it are weaklings. It's a scam.
What?
They're weaklings. They're doing the Democrats' work for him. He doesn't want their support anymore. Whoa. It's like it really is burning through political capital.
Yeah, this is
before
it.
Before the midterms.
Crash out.
If it was after the midterms, he's absolutely got nothing left to lose at the ballot box. Mm-hmm. It might make a bit more sense, like mask off, but there's still the midterms to go.
I think what they're hoping is that this time next year, everyone will have forgotten. And the news cycle will have dragged people along into this next current thing and the next current thing after that, and that there'll be something, and they'll start to throw out red meat to the base just in time for the midterms. Oh, this time, if you vote for the Republicans, make sure that we get the House and the Senate, and we'll make sure to get those millions and millions deported every year, when, like, Biden imported illegally 10 million people into the country. The upper limits of what we've been told for mass deportations is they're aiming for like 1 million a year. That isn't even a drop in the bucket. It needs to be, if Trump plausibly, incredibly says before the midterms, do this and we'll get 10 million out per year, and they actually are going to go through with it and actually get 10 million out per year, maybe then consider it. Maybe then. But if they're not going to do that, and they can't do that, or for whatever reason, then there's no reason to just continue to believe lies.
Yeah.
Well, for me, this was the last straw in the whole drain the swamp thing. Again, I've been on record years ago between the two Trump presidencies saying he didn't really drain the swamp first time round.
Yeah.
That's a worry for me. This time now, there's nothing left. If you're not draining the swamp or even attempting to, or actually gaslighting so that you actively don't, then you are part of the swamp.
I heard as well that he got ratioed hard on his own platform.
People aren't buying it. People aren't buying it because it's the same playbook that the Democrats will do. Like, off the top of my head, just one example, trying to say that January 6th is as bad as Pearl Harbor or 9/11. No one's buying that. No one's buying that. Just like this. No one's buying it. So, I mean, I saw this tweet, you know, the classic... the classic Stalin thing of just trying to rewrite an alternative history. And it seems like what happened was when they put that memo out saying he killed himself and there is no client list, Trump expected everyone, perhaps not his political enemies, leftists and stuff, but expected his own base, everyone on the right, everyone in MAGA, to just immediately swallow that and go with that line immediately. And then he obviously thought a little bit of berating from daddy will quieten them down and we'll move on. It's not working. I'm here for it. I'm here for the mutiny. I'm with Megyn Kelly. I'm with Steve Bannon.
Tucker.
No, this is important. People say, oh, let's just move on to the more important things. In a sense, this is the most important thing because it gets to the heart of trust, as I say.
Yeah.
Without that, governments in so-called free democracies are legless. How could we possibly trust you on anything else if you're going to do this on this topic? I'll keep doing bits on this I'm sure this isn't the end of the Epstein saga.
For one, Trump keeps bringing it back up. When he's so eager to move past it, he then keeps going on Truth Social and blasting his own followers for caring about something that his platform was built on. Because as you say, it's not just specifically, although this is obviously very important, about the idea that there is an international cabal blackmailing one another using video footage and other things surrounding, you know, sexual assault of minors. It's also to do with the deep state. It's also to do with political corruption. It's to do with national sovereignty, the idea that if foreign governments are potentially using this as leverage, then your nation is no longer sovereign if its leaders are being blackmailed to pursue the aims of other governments or doing the same to other governments. It's all to do with everything that MAGA was based around. Whilst at the same time, you have all of these talks of another betrayal if they go ahead with some kind of farm worker program, which will effectively be some kind of amnesty. Tom Homan has said that there's going to be no amnesty, but is Tom Homan in charge of whether that legislation gets put forward?
See, Tom Homan's actually, I see him at least make one comment in on the mutiny side saying we do need transparency, actually. So lots of people are not having it, even people in essence in Trump's inner circle. Because one other thing to say, if there was genuinely nothing to it, if the Department of Justice had genuinely looked into it all and saw that there genuinely was no client list and there genuinely was nothing to it, then what you would want is either Bondi or preferably Trump himself do some sort of long form interview with someone like Tucker, or Joe Rogan, sit down and do an hour or two and do a full house cleaning and say, look, this is what we genuinely found. But they didn't do that. It was this one line memo. And the very next day, you're a weakling and a bad person if you don't just swallow that whole scale. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's not what's been done. And the idea, there's pivot upon pivot here, isn't there? Like you say, where he wants everyone to stop talking about it, but he won't stop talking about it. Because you could go down the line of just a pure stonewall. Never, ever tweet about it or Truth Social about it. And whenever anyone asks you a question, immediately shut them down saying, I'm not talking about that. Could do that. It wouldn't be great. It really wouldn't be great. But I mean, he could do that. He's not doing that.
He didn't even have to have a memo written up. They could have pushed it back until maybe the midterms.
Until after the midterms, at least.
They could have said, oh, the Dems are holding us back from releasing phase two. We really want to get this through to you. You've got to keep voting for us so that we can get phase two out. So the dirty Dems don't block it. We want to get the truth to you. But no, they
what a load of liars.
Yeah, they shot themselves in the foot with this.
Yeah, yeah.
As I say, with the pivot upon pivot, it seems that you can only imagine some sort of strategy meeting. I mean, Stephen Miller has been quite quiet on this, hasn't he? Some sort of strategy meeting where they're like, first of all, change the subject. Just try and change the subject. That hasn't worked. They've tried that for a fair few days now. Hasn't worked. Okay, next strat is to discredit it. Say, if there's any credible documents or evidence, then Pam Bond is allowed to release it. Saying, in other words, that what they've got so far isn't credible. That's quite a big pivot.
Massive.
From saying there is nothing at all, that doesn't exist, to we're looking at what is or isn't credible. So that's quite, again, quite a big pivot.
But, massive.
Okay, so I'm sure this story will roll on and we'll keep bringing it to you because I don't owe the Trump administration any loyalty. I'm honestly interested in the truth. I think a lot of people are. A lot of people in the MAGA movement are honest, decent, working class people.
Yeah.
And they just want the truth. They don't want a cabal of sex criminals to be telling them what they aren't or aren't allowed to say or think about or question. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, we've got quite a few rumble rants from that. Let me just take the...
No worries.
Mouse for a moment so that we can go through them. So, Dragon Lady Chris says, MAGA can't possibly be disagreeing with Trump on anything. We're in a cult after all, don't you know? Mindless, following blindly. It has been very encouraging to see the amount of pushback the administration's been getting on this. Because I think at this point we all have to acknowledge that MAGA as a movement has to grow beyond Trump. If you really want to have something that is America first, I don't think Trump's going to be it. I don't think he can be it now. Clearly, he's compromised. So MAGA, if it wants to continue, needs to have something rise out of the ashes like a phoenix. And this is promising. Sigil Stone, Harry, I saw a meme and you're the exact person I wanted to share it with. If you're familiar enough with anime to get it, in it is British for Dezu. I'm sorry, I'm not that much of a weeb. I have heard the word Dezu a few times. I don't know what context this is in. That's a random name responded saying, don't trust it, Harry. Sigil Stone's meme is just goatsy. Thank you for reminding me of that. Habsification. Guys, don't look into the history of Cash Patel's wife's history and background. I've not looked into this myself, but I have heard people suggesting that she might be a spy of some kind.
Oh, really?
Brilliant.
Although, to be fair, it wouldn't be surprising for foreign governments to want to set up spies as the girlfriends and wives of high-ranking members of foreign governments.
Classic. Soldier's time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just like whenever you see an admin member with, like, a Chinese wife, you're like... really? got real lucky there, didn't you, buddy? Mm-hmm. Cranky Texan. check out what Mike Benz has been saying lately about Epstein. This seems to be about covert funding for covert operations. I've not seen what Mike Benz has been saying. He's typically a wealth of really interesting info, so I'll take a look at that. Windpill Seeker. Anything important would be removed from the FBI file and placed in the CIA file and NSA file. Pam doesn't have that. Tulsi does. Trump knows that. Many reported of FBI shredding from November 2024 to January 2025. Again, transparency, if that was the case, would be great. Tulsi, as far as I can tell, seems to be somewhat of an outsider in the Trump admin now, especially after he just completely... ignored her advice on what was going on with Iran, where she said her own intelligence was saying that Iran wasn't pursuing a nuclear weapon, despite the enriched uranium. She said, you know, they're not actually trying to build anything right now. And he ignored that and said, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. So if Tulsi were able to give some kind of statement, it seems like she's one of the ones being quite quiet
at the
moment. So
suspiciously quiet.
Yeah. Habsification. Con Inc. got their marching orders telling everyone to be mature and move on. They're defending child sex trafficking. They're all a bunch of pedo enablers now. That is the words of the Habsification. If anyone in Con Inc. hears me say that, that is not necessarily my opinion. Windpill Seeker. Anything international is under CIA and NSA, not FBI. This could be a honeypot for blackmail and black budgets or God knows what, but that would never be at FBI. That's CIA and NSA. Again, some transparency from the administration would be nice if they just said, listen, the FBI just doesn't have the information that you're after.
I mean, they're not entirely wrong saying that, but there's a bit more to it than that. I mean, so originally when Epstein was in, when he was in prison, when he died, he was being prosecuted by the Southern District of New York. Mm-hmm. So he was being prosecuted domestically. Mm. And the FBI had done the investigation. It was, I believe it was FBI agents that raided his island.
Well, a lot of would have been domestic anyway.
Right, yeah, yeah. And anything and everything that went down in his mansion in New York, of course. I'm pretty sure it's the FBI that raided the island. Where is that? That's not mainland United States. It's like the
Virgin Islands.
Yes. Yeah, but still. So he's not wrong.
I mean, there are still plenty of reports of a lot of what was going down, not just being on the island. He had a lot of
all over
girls brought to his New York mansion.
And if they took off on the Lolita Express from mainland United States, the FBI can say, oh, that's a part of our jurisdiction and various things. If they were procured on United States soil, they can then say this is in our jurisdiction. And so the FBI, it's not wrong, but the FBI certainly were doing the investigation. So.
Sigil Stone says, this helps Democrats slaughter the Republicans in the midterms or the Republicans turn against Trump hard. Either way, Trump becomes a lame duck in a year and a half. Again, we'll see how that turns out. Things might change. Maybe they'll turn around and say, you know what? You're right. Let's go complete full transparency and release everything. Not going to happen. Or maybe they start throwing out red meat and actually start deporting people in huge numbers, like numbers they promised, and then say and start using that as a selling point for the midterms. We'll see what happens. But if the Dems don't jump on this, then maybe Biden is still in charge, because that would be something that only a mentally retarded senile person would do. That's a random name. You missed my second message for Lewis Harry Ree. Oops, apologies for that. On an unrelated note, I haven't forgotten you, Lewis. I'll send you an email about the voice acting stuff sometime in the coming weeks and months, waiting to have my Steam store page up.
Creating a game. Wanted a voice actor.
Awesome. Cool. It's wonderful to see people within our spheres actually making things.
Yeah, it's very
cool. Need a genuine Cockney, bruv.
In it. Up the apples and pears. Nice.
All right, so Lewis,
shall we
have the mouse? I hear you have a scoop for
us. I do. So today, doing something quite cool, actually, an exclusive for Lotus Eaters. So it's an absolute privilege to do it on the platform and with you gents, and obviously with the audience, because they've all been fantastic since I started, you know, coming on the show ages ago. So it's a real privilege to do this, actually. Let me just get my... Not that. I want to go down to these notes here on the bottom, if I can. There we go. Okay. So I decided to delve into Ofcom a little bit more. We know about Ofcom being the communist regulators that they are. I see them as gatekeepers. I don't see the point in Ofcom, personally. I think we should go and, you know, completely just tear it down, start again, back to the 90s, you know, how it used to be. I just see it as just an information gatekeeping mechanism, to be honest. And their ties with the online safety bill, and I know you guys have obviously looked into that as well with the online safety bill and done segments on that, so we won't go too heavy on that. But I decided to just delve a bit more and just to look at stats and data on complaints and why these complaints are happening and what are the outcomes of all these complaints. Now, I decided to focus mainly on climate change because that's obviously a massive topic. There's others like extremism, immigration, stuff which I've got in the works. But I've received a reply from Ofcom with some data, and I thought we could go through it and have a little look. So originally, I sent a request asking for a breakdown of viewer complaints from the 1st of January 2021 to January the 1st, 2024, related to climate change, climate misinformation, net zero, global warming, environmental falsehoods, and I asked for the number of complaints per incident, the program and channel name, the nature of the complaint, and whether Ofcom took any action. And I also asked for copies of internal assessments, summaries, or guidance notes about how Ofcom assesses climate-related complaints under their broadcasting code, whether it's like due accuracy or misleading content. And I was expecting just a huge, you know, look into going after people who are skeptical on climate change. It's actually, a lot of it is the opposite. There are people who are actually saying, hang on a minute, what you're doing here with the heat waves, with, you know, you've seen like the big, you know, everything's red when it's like 25 degrees, you know, hang on a minute, and, you know, the temperatures and everything. And I wanted to go and show you what we...
And God damn it, on that, Americans make fun of us for that, because media scaremongering makes Americans go like, British people are afraid of 25 degree weather.
Exactly.
What was, no, it's the media scaremongering. Yeah. 25 degrees is fine. It's pleasant even.
Exactly.
We can deal with it.
So here's a list that they've given me. And you can see the different services. You can see on, obviously, the program. You've got a lot on BBC News there. Some of them might be one complaint. Some of them, clearly, there's one there, 61, on against GB News. There's one on Channel 4, 208. But the thing is with this, I was trying to go through this in my mind. Like, does it matter on volume or not? You know, the more people complain, does that mean that they have to take it more seriously or less? And the answer is actually no. It doesn't matter if it's one complaint or 200 complaints. They have to go through it and have to do an investigation. But what I found, obviously you can see here, the annex includes complaints made against Channel 4, the BBC, ITV, GB News, Sky, Talk TV, and obviously the list of the programmes on the left. There's some from Coronation Street there to Dan Wootton, Farage.
Ooh, Dan Wootton.
David Ball is there, Good Morning Britain, a lot on Good Morning Britain, ITV News.
Got one from Gogglebox.
Gogglebox, yeah. Jacob Rees-Mogg.
There should be more complaints for Gogglebox just to get that thing shut down.
I hate Gogglebox.
Yeah.
Lorraine there.
Mark
loads.
Dolan, Mark Stein.
Yeah, Neil Oliver. So a big list. But what I found, if I just go back to my notes here... no complaint about climate content resulted in a formal investigation. None. Oh. None of those. And you can see on the right-hand side, it says things like not pursued, refer to the BBC, not pursued, nothing. Out of remit is another one, and referrals, which is really weird. And I thought, so what you're telling me in 4 years, potentially, four years... with all these complaints, nothing has been done at all. Very weird. So
would it be because, like, with this one that I can see here from Newsnight, refer to BBC, would it be because there would be internal processes for channels like GB News that Ofcom would expect you to go through first before referring straight to Ofcom?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's that context as well.
I wonder if it's not extremely difficult to take any kind of action. Because despite one of the lines that the climate change lobby always say is that the science is settled.
Exactly.
The science is settled. Well, no, it isn't. Mm. No, it isn't. The reality is that the Earth's climate has always and will always be in flux. And in fact, it's one of the most complicated things ever. Even like the Earth's climate. You have the best supercomputers in the world trying to model it and they can't.
They can't.
Because it's too complicated. It's far too complicated.
Yeah.
It gets into chaos theory and things. You can't predict it.
No.
So if that's the case, which does seem to be, then how can you say that this one particular view, scientific view, is settled and anything that is heterodox to that is something that we can take action against you for?
Yeah.
So, for example, it's my opinion that CO2, certainly man-made CO2, doesn't drive climate change. It will have an effect, but it doesn't drive it.
No.
The sun and things like volcanoes, I said this yesterday, sun and volcanoes and glaciers and all sorts of weather, giant weather systems will have much more an important impact on it than simply man-made CO2. Mm. So could Ofcom or whoever actually prosecute me or anyone who holds that opinion?
Mm.
Well, No.
No.
Right? Yeah. It's not like it's a matter of absolute fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it has been and will be up for debate. As I say, the Earth's climate will always be in flux.
Mm. What I was surprised about going through the list, because I was expecting, you know, GB News to be attacked, Talk TV, like, you know, guys that would have their shows that will be inclined to be a bit more sceptical. So I was expecting that, but I wasn't expecting, you know, a couple of other things. There was one, like some notable examples that I made. Sky News coverage on the 11th of July, 2022. The complaint was misleading information about climate change and heat waves. And the allegation was the segment exaggerated the impact of heat waves and falsely attributed all high temperatures to anthropogenic, I think I've said that right, climate change. And the outcome, of course, not pursued. Nothing. Another one, BBC News, 19th of October, 23. Lack of impartiality and exclusion of dissenting scientific voices. Good complaint. The BBC promoted only extreme climate narratives and failed to present alternative views from climate scientists critical of IPCC models. Great complaint.
Well, typically one thing that you find that they do is they'll take the IPCC models and they'll have an incredibly wide range.
Yeah.
Of models of what the future will look like in their reports. And they'll take the ones that are the absolute most extreme. Like, there'll be most of them saying, like, well, yeah, by this year, temperatures may have gone up by this much, yeah, but it won't really do that much. It might actually have some benefits. And it probably is caused by this wide range of factors rather than just because Bill Gates hasn't been allowed to stop cows from farting yet. And they'll ignore all of those,
yep,
and they'll jump straight to the most sensationalist and hysterical one, broadcast that because that's what's, yep, most useful for promoting climate narratives, which allow them to push net zero targets.
Not to mention recently, I did an investigation into the Met Office and found that over 80% of the temperatures, temperature devices used to, you know, track our temperatures across the UK, 80% of them, that's 300, over 300 of those temperatures, are considered band 5, which 4 and 5, which is basically poor and unreliable. Because they're put in certain areas, like tarmac on a runway, or like near jets, you know, shooting off near the temperature gauge. In big cities where obviously, you know, massive buildings will, you know,
trap the heat.
Yeah. You know, it just put in all these ridiculous places. But yeah, 80%. And I think we have over 368. And that's nearly, 300. Over 300.
And yeah, I mean, Harry's exactly right that they'll go with the one particular view that if climate, the Earth's general climate, average climate, goes up by this amount by this date, then we're done. It's the apocalypse. It's Armageddon. There's no way back.
Yeah.
Like, as you say, the most hysterical version. I mean, many models suggest we're in an interglacial period.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe Leonard Nimoy in the 70s was right.
Yeah.
That we are going for an ice age, if anything. It's not going to be runaway, runaway heat. And, we actually will go back to some sort of glacial period. Who knows? Who knows? Well, nobody knows, really. That's the true. That's like, the real
me,
truth, isn't it? Nobody knows what the future holds.
Exactly.
Certainly not Greta Thunberg or
Al Gore.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, here's a
What were Al Gore's predictions in an Inconvenient Truth?
Didn't he say something like New York will be underwater by like the year 2000 or the year 2005 or something?
I think it was in 2005 he did it. I think it was by 2020.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
New York will be underwater. Yeah. But of course, you bring that up, I bet anybody trying to counter you will say, well, it's only because of the measures that we've taken to combat climate change since Al Gore's warning.
Oh, so it's faulty then, is what you're saying.
It's unfalsifiable.
It's because we started charging people for carrier bags.
Yeah, that's
that Al Gore's doomsday predictions haven't come
straws.
True.
Yeah. Well, this is, I wanted to show just two of the complaints that someone has done. This is for this one. So this is for a trailer called Change Climate Season. This is the next one after that. The Great Climate Fight. And it had some complaints due to impartiality and bias. I just wanted to play just a little bit, just to get you the flavour of, you know...
What if I told you that solving the climate crisis is possible?
This isn't a fantasy. It could be our future.
The good news is we have the tools.
The problem is our politicians.
We've got a plan.
We can get to net zero.
Global warming can be stopped.
All you need is passion and leadership.
They've known how to do this for decades.
And the solutions could benefit us all.
Onshore wind, it's the cheapest form of electricity.
This is a massive opportunity. This is going to be the future of the economy.
But our politicians are failing us.
The government is going to water down key climate change commitments.
It's so bonkers. On every...
Anyways, you get the point.
I love all of the solemn...
I'm the
only one qualified, willing to tell you clip. The truth.
Yeah. One of the most complicated things in our cosmos. I need to hear what Hugh Fearnley Whittingstone... What does Hugh Fearnley Whittingstone... What's his take on it? Exactly. I can't be well informed until Hugh Fearnley Whittingstone...
Well, if it's not an older gentleman pulling a very serious face and licking his lips, how are you supposed to take it seriously, Bo?
Well, there were some other things, right? I watched this for the first time on the train coming up here, and this received over 208 complaints, this particular one.
Which is quite a lot, it seemed, from that list. That seemed like among the more.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think it's because of necessarily its climate change. I'll play it to you, see what you think. It does have music, so I don't know... Well, it's on YouTube, so it'll be all right. So...
Welcome aboard. Public time today will be 14 minutes. Bring it back to flow, give it that time.
And as you can see, record profits in the third quarter.
Sorry.
Exactly. What is this again?
This is an advert.
Yeah.
For Change Climate Season by Channel 4.
It's supposed to be insulting oil magnates.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By making me despise...
I'm very sorry.
...the people who made this advert.
If I had to see it, you guys had to see it, and I'm very sorry you guys had
to
see it.
No, we didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, we didn't.
Imagine the creative sitting round, coming up with that idea, but then the senior management going, yes, like it.
Yeah,
make
like it
happen.
Let's
throw
do it.
Money at it.
Let's do it.
It's like they've got skid marks, but it's crude oil.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry that I had to put you guys through that, but I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. A reminder. So, in total, none of the viewer complaints, nothing, resulted in anything.
Well, that's good to know that they're not overreaching so much that they are actually hurting people, even financially, on the back of it. I mean, that is something, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it reminded me, back in 2001, I think you guys remember this particular TV show that received a record-breaking complaints. Brass Eye.
I love Brass Eye.
Yeah,
it's great.
Favorite
day today. Yeah, it's great.
It received the biggest amount of complaints in UK history for one single program. I've got it here. It says, when we're talking about complaints, the show that comes to mind, Brass Eye, episode, I think it was Pedogeddon. Do you remember?
I love that episode.
It's the one with Simon Pegg.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't fancy him. Yeah. Sorry.
It's not my type.
in July 2001, still remains as the most complained about single programme in UK history, with 1,500 to 3,000 complaints in days, with around 1,000 directly to Channel 4. And their findings after the investigation said that it breached standards on offence and lack of adequate warnings. Channel 4 had to broadcast an on-air apology, but no financial penalties. But even back then, Satire was deemed public interest valid, protecting creative expression. Can you imagine such a series happening now through Ofcom as well? I don't think it's even possible anymore.
Yeah.
And there was the old 23-year-old article that obviously spoke about that. But comparing that to today is my broader point. It shows that these dozens of complaints about biased climate coverage, some very serious, some detailed, none of them have been investigated, like, at least once. And I just don't see the point. Is kind of the wider point. What is the point in Ofcom if they're not actually doing anything, really, if that makes sense?
It's like a parent just sort of wagging its finger,
yeah,
tutting.
Exactly.
But not actually doing anything.
But even worse, to top it off, Ofcom actually stated, in terms of internal assessments or guidance, it says, we can confirm that we do not hold any internal guidance notes for the assessment of climate-related complaints. So they don't have anything to go by. It says, we consider internal assessments and summaries of individual complaints to be exempt from disclosure. This exemption is based on Section 393 of the Communications Act, which prohibits Ofcom from disclosing business-specific information. As a result, no internal reviews, audits, or summaries about how climate complaint decisions are reached were shared. So how do they then... It's so confusing. If they have no internal assessment or guidance on how they, you know, push forward with a complaint, what are they doing? There seems to be a bit of oversight there.
Yeah, completely toothless
there. Yeah.
Which is probably, it's for the best, but you're quite right. It's odd.
It is odd.
Weird. Then, yeah.
Yeah, it's confusing. It's very confusing, but forgive me for the video. But,
no.
Yeah, I know.
No, I won't.
I saw the smile. That was a forgiveness there. I saw that.
No, it wasn't. That was a vengeful smile.
Harry's going to hurt me afterwards, I think, for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. That's the little exclusive. Some more data, you can go and have a look, sleuth through it yourself. But on the way, I have some more data come in, hopefully to tackle, like, immigration views, extremism, see the complaints through that, and see if there's been any investigation for that as well. And if there's not, again, it's gonna look pretty bad, because it's kind of like, What is their purpose then?
What I'm hearing is that someone like Nick Ferrari or Patrick Christie's or Neil Oliver can go to town, say what you like.
Yeah,
nothing's going to happen to you.
No. Yeah.
Go for your life.
So there we have it.
All right, then. We've got a few more Rumble rants come through, and then we'll do my segment to end the day off. So let me see here. It's okay, Harry, says Sigil Stone. We know you're not scared of mildly warm weather. You're mortally terrified of it.
Yes.
I'm not, actually. I'm the kind of... I'm a weird maniac who will go out in very warm weather and have been known to do this in, like, long-sleeve shirts and jeans and just sweat my balls off. I don't know why I do it, but sometimes I just do, and I get on with it. Sigil Stone again.
It's the northern in you. You refuse to accept that it's cold. And when it's hot, it's I'm going to wear the exact same thing at all times.
I've got quite a few friends who are like the absolute maniacs who go out in the dead of winter with sleeveless shirts and cargo shorts on. So, you know, that's kind of like what metal scene guys do. Sigil Stone again. Also, I'd like to advise the British to stop using metric, because there's two kinds of countries, those that use metric and those that have stealth bombers.
Oh, well said.
But personally, I don't get the obsession with the, like, hating metric.
It's French.
Okay. Okay. It works fine for me. I weigh out the measurements at the gym in kilograms, because that's what everything's listed as. So, you know.
Whenever anyone pulls me up on it, if I mention someone weighs 180 pounds,
yeah,
or something, or I mention, if I use metric in any way and someone pulls you up on it, I'm like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, fair
enough. It's just, it's a European thing. Yuck.
Yeah. And English people aren't European. No way, Jose. That's a random name. If the UK were to stop using the metric system, how would they keep their possession as the second greatest soft power in the world? Exactly, guys. Exactly, good point. Sigil Stone, the problem is our politicians. They're not implementing real gay race communism fast enough, says the experts. Yeah, that's what always the solution. Glee 777, so Channel 4's solution to net zero is to have a bunch of washed-up boomers yap at us. That is always the solution. Bobo Bad, the scientists see themselves as the heroic academics from movies like Volcano, Dante's Peak, or The Day After Tomorrow, when they are just gay, retarded communists. Very true. Sigil Stone, you heard it here, Harry has no balls. Yes, I lost them in the fires of British summer. Scott Saigai, my dad woke up in the middle of the night because he heard a noise and he saw someone was stealing his gate. He didn't say anything in case he took offence. I can't believe I read that out loud.
And they paid £5 for the privilege of that.
$5.
$5, rather.
$5. $5, bad dad joke.
Terrible.
And Windpill Seeker.
can't believe he did that.
Says clarification. Tulsi was misquoted in March. There was time for diplomacy when Trump struck. It was because Iran used diplomacy as a ruse. Tulsi said she was taken out of context and approved the strikes. I've not heard any of that personally. My understanding was that Trump struck because during diplomacy he'd set a 60-day time limit for negotiations and was going to extend that, and the right as the negotiations were coming to the end of that deadline, told Israel, don't do anything stupid. And then literally the day after the deadline, Israel struck Iran first. And after a bit of umming and ahhing for a few days, Trump decided to go all in and struck as well. I've not seen anything about Iran using the diplomacy as a ruse. I'd be willing to believe it.
General, for year on year, I think maybe they meant. Iran's been doing that since...
And I've not seen anything about Tulsi being taken out of context, but, you know, if you can send me some clarification for that, I'd be happy to read it. That's a random name is carried on me, my racism. I'll stop there. Anyway, on to the last segment. So, gentlemen, what do we know about regime change?
It's usually not a good thing.
No. It's always orderly, well organized, and goes off without a hitch. That's right, guys. That's how it always goes, right? You never get bogged down in anywhere. You never get any factional infighting in regions that are contested, which is why the Syrian regime change is still going absolutely swimmingly after this past December. Bashar al-Assad was overthrown by former Al-Qaeda and former ISIS forces who were being clandestinely backed by Western powers, which has led to a new era of peace and utopia within... No.
Oh, what?
No.
Oh, did no.
It's still massively bogged down by infighting, factional, regional conflicts. So in lots of articles that have been going around recently, there'd been a lot of conflict in the southern areas of Syria, particularly those territories which are bordering northern Jordan and the eastern borders of the Golan Heights, which Israel currently still has claim to occupying right now. And the government, again headed by literal former Al-Qaeda and ISIS, only really controls about 60 to 70% of its territory, which is not that much. The rest of it is currently being controlled by militias and other factional forces, many of which have their own personal reasons for wanting to be separatist or not believing that the government is going to hold the territory in their best interests. And there have already been massacres. There's always massacres after these sorts of things. So, for instance, back in March, there was a massacre of Alawites in the Latakia district, in which 1,700 people were killed.
Oh, what? It's massive.
Yeah, that's huge. That's pretty
I didn't even hear about that.
Well, they point out in this article from Haaretz that, Haaretz, I'll just call it Haaretz, I don't know how to pronounce it properly, that, yeah, they said Israelis have already forgotten the massacre, so it seems like it wasn't something that was majorly reported on.
The Alawites were the ones getting massacred, were they?
Yes.
Because they're the...
It says a massacre of Alawites.
Because they were the Assad... base, weren't they?
Yes, I believe they
massacred
were also Christian as well, I believe.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Well, no. Well, there will be some, but...
Yeah.
Well, broadly, that's what I've heard, but carry on.
Well, anyway, who massacred them then?
It doesn't mention.
Oh.
It doesn't mention in this article, but there's apparently also been lots of violent clashes between members of the Druze community and government forces or forces allied with the government. There was a June 22nd attack on the Mars Ilias Church, which killed at least 25 people. So, as always, there are lots of conflicts and killings that go on in these territories, which are currently contested, and within territories that the government de facto controls as well, because that's just what happens in regime change. That's what happens in these countries where there's just lots of different factions. The government goes down, it becomes unstable, people start fighting each other. And it's particularly regarding the Druze that there has been a lot of conflict in the city of Sweida in southern Syria right now, which led to this happening yesterday that you might have seen. This is the Syrian military HQ, and this is what was done to it yesterday. Boom. Wow. There's lots of different angles of this. This is drone footage that was taken. There was also live news reports where it was going on, where they were reporting in Damascus, where they just caught it in the background. They also struck around the area of the Syrian presidential palace, currently occupied again by the president, Ahmed al-Shara. And this was done by Israel, who are claiming that these strikes were done so that they would be able to defend the Druze minority in southern Syria, which is currently being persecuted, I believe, by the... Is it the Bedouin?
I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, there's the word Bedouin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being... Like the semi-nomadic desert people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the reports that are coming out, that there is a lot of persecution of the Druze going on, that the Syrian government, the transitionary government, is not doing enough to be able to defend. Israel has taken it upon themselves, because apparently the Druze within Israel are a protected minority who often sign up to work for the IDF. They say there has not been enough done to actually defend them. Therefore, they're going to take these military strikes against Syria so that they would be able to push them into doing more to defend this minority. Out of the goodness of its heart.
We'll bomb you into changing your policy.
Well, into I presume fully taking control of the Sweden region,
right?
And the city that it's the Sweden city, and because of that, they say that the Syrian government officials and leaders in the Druze religious minority announced a renewed ceasefire on Wednesday after these clashes, because they'd already made some other strikes in southern Syria on Monday and Tuesday, and it was yesterday they escalated it further to actually bomb parts of Damascus, which has supposedly killed 3 people already.
All right.
Yeah.
So Israel
struck Damascus.
Damascus now. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's where the military HQ was.
All right. Okay. All right. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they say...
God, Net is really throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah. Well, that's why I've called this segment Israel Unleashed, is because... Well, yeah. There's always been a give and take with Israel and US... diplomacy, where you kind of expected that the US will do something to rein in Israeli territorial ambitions to try to make sure that you don't cause too much instability in the Middle East, which will lead to migration flows and refugees and just general things that the US could be dragged into. Mm. They just don't seem to care right now.
Yeah.
They do not seem to care. Again, with this whole thing with Iran, it does seem that Trump was trying to do negotiations with them, and then as soon as that 60-day deadline was done, the day after, Israel decides to take a preemptive strike. So they seem to be off the leash a little bit. And this is after the regime, which are currently in place in Syria, have made diplomatic overtures to America. There was a meeting between this gentleman here, I keep forgetting his name, Ahmed Al-Shara, and Donald Trump, I think back in March, April, May, around that time, where they actually shook hands. There's been attempts to try and, you know, smooth out this transition period where they're getting control of all of this territory.
And isn't he an ex-paramilitary ISIS, or at least ISIS adjacent?
ISIS
or...
and Al-Qaeda.
Right, okay. Right.
I thought he was a good man because, you know, Rory Stewart and Alistair Campbell did that lovely interview with him.
Oh,
God, yeah.
And why wouldn't you trust Rory Stewart?
Yeah, why wouldn't you trust them?
Look, he's got a blazer and a tie on, so he must be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, it seems that no matter what the diplomacy that's going on behind the scenes at the moment, the government of Israel, led by Benjamin Netanyahu, seems to be taking action. No matter what the circumstances are. And it does actually seem to be somewhat popular in Israel.
I was going to say, where? In Israel.
In Israel itself. Because of the action that was taken in Iran, because of actions taken in Syria, because of actions taken in Gaza, despite the many protests that go on even within Israel, particularly in the very liberal cities like Tel Aviv, there is a perception within Israel that, well, they're doing what's best for us. They're protecting us in the regional territories. If we expand some of the territories like West Bank settlements, if we maybe insert ourselves into southern Syria as a police force, you're protecting our borders, you're expanding our power, making us more secure. So it is quite popular, which is really, as I'll address later on in this segment, really turning around Netanyahu's political fortunes, because before the 7th of October attacks in early 2023 to mid 2023, he was not looking good. It was not looking good for him. There were all of the corruption charges, the allegations of taking bribes for political benefits for businessmen. Mainly, it seemed to be like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cigars and liquor.
Hey.
He was just happy to accept for political benefits.
I do remember all sorts of corruption allegations, at the very least, swirling around him. But I suppose when they're in a state of emergency or war...
Yeah.
That just
when you're in a when you're in a war cabinet, when you're in a war government, that's a way for a lot of leaders to really solidify their power, make themselves secure in those positions. And in this article, it says Israel has taken an aggressive stance towards Syria's new leaders, saying it doesn't want Islamist militants near its borders. I mean, fair enough. I don't think anybody does.
Right, it is true to say that Israel's a very thin country. It hasn't got any strategic depth. So if all you cared about was your safety, then you do want as big a buffer around Israel as possible.
Yes,
that is true.
And it was
I'm not saying I agree with anything Netty's doing, but that is true.
And towards the end of the 12-day Iran conflict, they were already saying that they were beginning to run out of defensive munitions as part of the Iron Dome, because it just wasn't built to actually withstand concentrated attacks from a force like Iran. It was made to defend against like Hamas beggars with rocket launchers firing from a hill somewhere and from Lebanon as well. So when it actually had a foreign military firing, it wasn't as effective as they thought. So yeah, there is always security concerns, especially in a place like the Middle East. So Israeli forces have seized a UN patrol buffer zone on Syrian territory along the border with the Golan Heights and launched hundreds of airstrikes on military sites in Syria. Now we're getting the direct strikes near the presidential palace and also towards the, directly on the military HQ as well. Again, there's all of these different conflicts which are justifying it. Although, again, as you can see in this article itself, it seems that what they are also wanting to do is secure some of that territory permanently while Syrian government is still in a state of instability, be able to become a partner in running those territories as a police force to expand its territory. Really. And, you know, again, from a strategic viewpoint, I can see why you would want to do something like this. But as popular as it is, one of the interesting things that comes from all of these things and the fact that Netanyahu is getting very brazen with what he's doing is that within Israel, there are polls suggesting that a lot of people think that one of the reasons that he's doing this is not necessarily the national security, but his own security to maintain power because of all of the problems that he was experiencing, because of the allegations of corruption, the fact that he was supposed to be on trial, which he only started appearing on the stands in court last year, which was well after he'd originally been scheduled to, at which point he took the stands and was like, listen, I'm running a war right now, guys. You can't have me on the stands in trial right now when I'm running a war. So it's led a lot of Israelis themselves to say, this is about you, isn't it, Bibi? More about you than us. They say that asked whether what Netanyahu believes is his main goal, 55% of these respondents to this poll said that he was just trying to stay in power. 36% said returning the hostages, and 9% said they weren't sure. When returning the hostages was swapped out for winning the war, the responses were basically the same. The question about elections, which because they were asking about elections, whether there was going to be elections before, I think it's October of next year, or when they're next scheduled. Question about elections was included after Netanyahu was asked during Wednesday's press conference why this was back in May, why he hadn't resigned because of the failures surrounding the Hamas-led attack on October 7th, 2023, or called elections to seek a renewed mandate from the public. After Iran, if they did that, it seems likely that he probably would actually just get through anyway. They'd go like, well, you've got our best interests in mind, you're voting for us. You're doing everything to protect us, so we'll keep you going. But there was, I reported this when there were articles about it a few months ago, there was big exposés regarding the failures of Israeli intelligence surrounding the 7th of October attacks, where they basically already knew that Hamas was going to do it. And they just ignored the information on the assumption, on the hunch that, well, they're not retarded enough to do it, right? That would be really stupid if they started an actual full-scale ground war with us, right? And they did it, because it turned out they were actually precisely retarded enough to do it. There's other parts of corruption scandals going on right now. This was actually kind of funny to me, because you always get all these things about, oh, Tucker Carlson, jokes like that. Well, actually, it turns out that One of Netanyahu's right-hand men was implicated in Qatar scandals, because it seems that he's on trial for taking money from Qatar to boost their image within Israel itself. This was Jonathan Urich, a close aide to Benjamin Netanyahu, is a key suspect in the so-called Qatargate scandal, where he's suspected of bribery and breach of trust due to his role advising Netanyahu while, according to the allegations, doing paid work to improve Qatar's image in Israel at the same time. This is bundled along with Netanyahu's former military affairs spokesperson, Eli Feldstein, doing the same thing.
That's awkward.
I do find that quite funny that people like Tucker Carlson get the Qatar money allegations. Might be true, to be fair. I don't know.
Apparently it's been debunked.
Oh, well, I've not seen evidence in one way or the other. I just see it as a something that people keep throwing out, yeah. Where it turns out that Netanyahu's personal aides and other people
been doing exactly
have been
that.
Doing the same thing. Qatar just playing every side all at once to see what... just like, chaos is a ladder, why not? But this also comes as just a few days ago, there was this absolutely enormous article from the New York Times, so take it with a pinch of salt, but from the New York Times alleging that they have spoken to over 110 officials within Israel, the United States, and the Arab world, and looked at scores and scores of documents that all allege that Netanyahu has been prolonging the war and taking steps to prolong the war, to push off ceasefires purely so that he can stay in power, so that he can kind of repair his reputation after all of the corruption scandals and court trials and such things, to make sure that he doesn't go to prison, which is interesting. Now, reading through this, it's enormous. It's a really long article. You can see, just like, if you decide to listen to it, it's an hour and 16 minutes long if you decide to listen to the audio version of this article. So I can't go over
More like a dissertation.
Yeah, I can't go over the whole thing. And reading through it, knowing that it's going from all these different officials in the United States, I'm sure that there is a lot of passing the baton going on with the sorts of people that they've been speaking to here, who probably also are to blame for the same failures that led to the 7th of October attacks and such, just trying to pin it on Netanyahu purely. Oh, he's just doing everything just to maintain his own power. But it is true that he has been maneuvering it to make sure that that he can stay in power at the same time. What were you going to say?
I mean, I have heard it said more than once from more than one person on both sides of the aisle that it is odd that the Israeli intelligence services are so on the money when it came to taking out the Hamas leadership and the Hezbollah leadership and what they've done in Iran. But yet also at the same time were completely inept on October the 7th. It's odd that you can be so professional and wired tight and absolutely incompetent at the same time. That is odd. I mean, I don't know. I've got no insight, but I've seen that said.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what conclusion to draw.
I make no conclusions from it there.
But it is interesting. You are absolutely right. But basically, it just goes on to say the conclusion that I've already mentioned here, which is that despite whether or not he was prolonging anything to stay in power, it has led to a lot of the strategic developments that have happened in the past few months with Iran and such, which has actually made it so that he's probably a bit more popular than he was and will be able to survive through to a next election, which he's probably going to win because there is a wide perception within Israel that he's taking their side, doing what's right for them.
It would be extremely cynical if the whole thing is contrived. The whole thing from October 7th through to everything that's happened since was contrived by Netty personally in order to avoid corruption charges.
I have seen some suggest that. I don't think that it's as quite as simple as that, because that would wrap everything in a nice, neat bow, which geopolitics doesn't always wrap into. But certainly, he's been able to...
Is that what the people were saying in this particular... No, not that.
They're not saying that. They're saying that there was just a number of failures that could have tanked his career, but he's been able to manoeuvre it very, very well since then to avoid it tanking his career. So, you know, there you go. That's why Syria got bombed yesterday. Anyway, I'll go on to the Rumble rants here. Windpill Seeker, here is the link from Gabbard herself on X. The dishonest media is intentionally taking my testimony out of context and spreading fake news. Okay, thank you. The engaged few, we know who massacred the Alawites. They're all on the Epstein Club. Well, I don't know. Sigil Stone, Israel cares so much for people outside their ethnic minority. Just ask the Ethiopian Jews, Christians in Jerusalem, and all those churches in Gaza. They shot up and pillaged. No false pretenses here. Wimpel Seeker, when you say Trump ignored her opposition and shunned her, I'm paraphrasing, it's basically a regurgitation of leftist fake news. I respectfully implore you not to trust lies implied in CNN's questions. I'm just going off of actual footage that I saw of him doing that, where they asked him, she said this in March, what do you think about that? And he said, she's wrong, I don't care. That's what I'm saying. That's footage that I saw, and it wasn't being shared by people on the left. That's a random name. The Bene Gesserit denies any such accusations from the Sigil Stone agitator. The Fremen are days away from having a Death Star, unless you send your sons to die for us, I mean for the Imperium.
Pesky Paul. That's why we call him Pesky Paul.
Oh, that's the best meme. Sigil Stone, we must build the Death Star to bring peace, security, and justice to my new empire. Windpill Seeker, Syria keeps massacring Christians, Druze, and Alawites. No one does anything about it. When someone does, these nations reporters who complained and did nothing. Hem and haw, I assure you, US approved this. Okay. That's a random name. In keeping with tradition, the Death Star's beam will be rainbow-coloured, and to those saying blowing up planets is a crime against humanity, we would argue we are merely goat-seeing the... For fuck's sake. Sigil Stone, the Death Star... Oh, God, guys. Thank you for the money, though. When Pill Seeker, when he was killing Christians, you reported that it was bad and someone should do something. Our proxy did something. People act like our pit bull gives orders and doesn't take orders. I hate these groypers. Listen, all I'm saying is that there can be multiple strategic reasons for doing something at the same time. If they're protecting Christians and defending an embattled Christian minority in Syria, that's good, but they're also taking advantage at the same time to be able to seize more territory, which from their own strategic viewpoint also makes perfect sense. That's a random name. This Bo fella seems to be asking too many questions. Send him into the Fremen tunnels in NYC. Oh, God. Can't have any loose ends. Okay, and Win Pill Seeker, why have you begun to trust leftist news when it comes to Israel in Iran? New York Times isn't good enough to use when you run out of newspaper. Have you been overrun by groypers? It's become a pattern. Again, I'm not trusting leftist news. I said explicitly that if they are speaking to reporters and other such and officials within Israel, there's probably a lot of passing of the buck going on here and a lot of trying to throw each other under the bus, because whether or not you believe, it's leftist news. Yeah, October 7th, there were huge failures to let that sort of thing happen, right? And it's not being a leftist to expect somebody to take accountability for that. Innocent people died. I mean, come on. Wind Pill Seeker, go look at the video. They implied she said it recently. They didn't say March. In the reporting that I saw, it was all February and March where she was saying those things, because it was after some kind of inspection or intelligence report. Habsification. I don't care about countries that hate eating bacon. All right, have we got video comments?
So recently I watched 28 Years Later, and you know, I had a lot of problems watching EFAP to get a sense of what those were. But there were some interesting details, such as the fact that they kept cutting away to like Sycamore Gap during the movie. Like there's like two or three examples of the actors like walking past the tree in Sycamore Gap. It's a very deliberate choice for the directors actually clued in this movie, because like this movie was made after the tree was cut down, so they had to deliberately recreate this whole imagery and everything. And kind of makes me wonder what the headspace of the directors and creators are right now.
I haven't seen it. Yeah. I haven't seen that film yet.
No, me neither.
Yeah, apparently it's all right. Well, apparently there's some weird things in it, but I don't know any spoilers. It's been very vague.
And body shot. Block feral left. Weaken right jaw.
What is this?
Now fracture. Break cracked ribs. Traumatize solar plexus. Dislocate jaw entirely. Heel kick to diaphragm. In summary, 1 trillion in waste eliminated. Optimus rollout. Productivity boost. Federal debt curve reversed.
Laugh at the
AI end. Is so insane, yeah, these days.
Mad. Dearie me.
Was that everything? Okay. Right, let's go through the written comments on the website. Would you like me to scroll down, or do you want me to read them for you?
I don't mind either, whatever you want to do.
Oh. Where's the mouse gone? Jack, where'd the mouse go? Oh, here it is. There we go. There you go, Bo.
Okay. Sesty King says, if the Epstein files don't matter because he's been dead for a long time, why does Trump plan to release the JFK and MLF files? Both of them died in 1960s. Yeah, quite. Yeah, it's got no real bearing on it that he died a few years ago. Mm. That's just complete nonsense, really.
Odds wallop.
I've got the mouse here. Let's read one. What's George Happ say? George Happ says, this is not a mutiny, it's treason. Trump threw MAGA under the bus to protect the swamp. Yeah, the exact opposite of what he was supposed to do. It's also politically stupid, because now Democrats can beat him over the head with this. Republicans deserve their loss in the midterms. Well, yeah, I don't really disagree with that. It is almost inexplicable from Trump why he's doing this. Why are you doing this? Well, it's probably exactly what Elon said all along. He's compromised. He's in it.
It's difficult not to come to that conclusion.
Yeah. Shall I read one more?
If you'd like.
AZ Deseret says, why are we interested? Because it stinks of government corruption from both parties. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. It goes to the heart of the matter.
Mm. Yes.
Shall I do some of these? Yeah. Sophie Liv says, to be fair, parts of New York is being flooded right now, but it's not due to climate change. It's due to overpopulation, broken infrastructure and sewage being clogged up by garbage. I mean, just like the drains in most of the places in England as well, because there seems to be lots of images going around of like drains completely, like, looks like they're boarded up completely. And it's like, what are you doing about that?
The council just don't sort it out. Yeah.
It's nuts. AZ Desert Rat says, I remember hearing in elementary school back in the mid-90s that the polar ice caps would have melted by 2010. My dad was also told in the 50s that we would all be crowded shoulder to shoulder and starving. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I know. I remember being told stuff like that in school.
It's just nuts.
The hole in the ozone layer.
Yeah, that was
because of
thing.
Your hairspray and your fridge.
Yeah, oh god.
Means that we will be.
It's all nuts.
We were always told in school, don't use spray deodorant. You're destroying the environment. You use spray deodorant.
It's got CFCs in it.
Yeah, oh god.
CFCs.
The ozone layer. What would someone think of the ozone layer? I'll do one more if you like. This is Chance Bell. If seasons are defined by annual orbital flux between our planet and the sun, why wouldn't our planet also go through phases according to galactic orbit? Maybe we're in like a galactic winter and makes the rest of our seasons a bit more cold than normal. All I know is I don't trust anything anymore. And hear, because I don't either. I've become very cynical, but not too cynical that my brain kind of just melts and comes out of my ears or something.
Yeah. Michael Dre Belbis, Harry, I hope you're enjoying the books I sent. Which ones? I've been sent a lot of books recently, and I'm not a particularly big fan of any of them.
Jess Phillips ones.
I think they were for Carl, right? They weren't for me. Someone put them on my desk, but they're not for me. They were the curative for your exposure to the writings of Sadiq Khan and Ash Sarkar. Which books did you send? I don't know if we've received any. I've not received any good books recently.
I saw some Sadiq Khan and Ashokar books.
Yeah, but but apparently Michael sent in some curatives. So he might have sent in some good books, in which case I don't know if they've arrived yet or not. And if they have arrived and they were good books, then somebody else has stolen them from me. Anyway, that's all we've got for today. Thank you everybody for joining us. Lewis, thank you for joining us. Where can people find you?
Find me on X, Lewis_Brackpool, YouTube, same name, obviously, and Instagram as well. I use a bit of that. Thank you.
All right, then. And check out Common Sense Crusade later on today if you've got a membership. And we'll see you all again tomorrow. Take care.